And Robin de Vries is our guest studio today. Robin, I think that I know a lot about you. You were the treasurer of the late Alan Bond and the late Kerry Packer. I read your book. The title is My Mother Took Me to the Cricket. And I must tell our listeners that I loved the book, every minute of the book, because I think this book is just incredible. And we'll talk about your book in a minute. But before, I would like you to introduce yourself to our listeners.
Oh, hello. Thank you for having me, Nitsa. It's a pleasure to be here today. Nitsa, you and I go back a long way. You and I first met when I first came to Sydney, and it's related story in the book where you taught me more about Sydney culture in the space of 5 minutes than I learned in probably the next 5 years. My background is I'm from Melbourne, born and bred there, and spent my first 30-something years in Melbourne, came to Sydney and pursued a career in Treasury. But the key part of what I'm trying to tell in the book is about the experience of my family and the generations that before the war and after the war, and the alienation that they had to put up with, and the experiences that drove them to be what they were. And it's a lesson for all of us, and a lesson for an eternal lesson here on refugees and the alienation that they experience. But it's a book that I tried to put together for future generations.
I think that it's a fabulous book on different levels. First of all, you're giving us a fantastic history, Australian history, about the happy 80s. Like people, I mean, money was like no values. I mean, Alan Bond goes and buys for $1 billion, he buys Channel 9, and then he sells it back to Kerry Packer. And guess who is the treasurer that buys Channel 9 for Alan Bond? Is Robin de Vries. And guess who is the treasurer for Kerry Packer that buys back Channel 9? Robin de Vries. Can you please tell us about those days when you were a treasurer? And the fact that I'm saying treasurer, banker, it's got a reason for it. And our listeners will find out in a minute why.
The role of treasurer is a really important role in most organisations, because it looks after the money, the foreign exchange and the borrowings. And in the 80s, borrowings were the currency of the day. The Buccaneers of the 80s would borrow more money than they could ever repay, and Alan Bond was the master of that. And I joined Alan Bond's organisation in late 1987, and immediately was plunged into the borrowings of the organisation. And in the end, it was something like $11 billion of borrowings.
Oh, so $1 billion for Channel 9 was just nothing.
Well, the Channel 9 deal was extraordinary because Alan Bond's organisation owned 3 or 4 television stations, and Kerry Packer owned the Nine Network. And Bond went to Packer to say, look, we need to put these together. Either I'll buy you or you'll buy me. And Kerry finally got sick of the negotiations, said, pay me $1 billion or F off. And Bond left the room and rang the bank. And extraordinarily, the National Australia Bank agreed to lend Bond Corporation $1 billion in the space of a few hours. How that decision was ever made, I've no idea, because clearly the assets were overvalued. So the deal went through, and we settled it in March of the following year, and we had to write checks for $1.055 billion. Well, the reality was the National Australia Bank couldn't process a check for more than $99.9 million at a time, so we had to actually sign 11 checks. But as it was at the time, it was the biggest transaction ever done in Australia, and it was doomed from the very start. And within the space of a few years, Kerry Packer acquired it back, and he acquired it back for no cash. He had negotiated a small tranche of $250 million of convertible debt, which was the poison pill for Alan Bond. So he used that to leverage back the acquisition of the business. And the rest is history.
So you were part of the deals of the history in Australia in the 80s, yeah. And it's in your book. So in one level is we get like a glimpse into the happy 80s when money was given without by the banks, like $1 billion in a few hours, to Alan Bond. But on a different level, you're talking about your childhood. And but your parents, the Holocaust survivors, they fled Germany with the skin of the teeth. I mean, they fled Germany like the last minute before the border was completely closed. They arrived to Melbourne with no language, no money. And then you were born, your brother was born, and they had to raise two young children. And can you tell us about that part of life?
Well, my parents met in early 1938. At the tail end of the worsening conditions for Jews in Germany, and the photographs that my father left me, which some are in the book, are a fantastic record of Jewish social life in the late 30s in Germany. But the ranks thinned as people escaped or got out of Germany, and in early 1938, my mother was approached by a member of the local Gestapo who had been a friend of the family in earlier days. And he said to my mother, "Esther, you have to leave. And you have to leave now." My mother said, "Well, where do we go?" And the Gestapo chief said, "Go to Australia. That's where your half-sister is, and that's where they'll take you." So that was the most fortuitous thing they ever did, because Australia was one of the few places in the world that would take Jews. They got their landing permits and they got their tickets and on Kristallnacht the whole thing nearly fell apart. Like all the Jews and all the towns, my father was arrested along with his father, thrown into jail and potentially was going to be deported to Dachau. My mother, who was at that stage only 19 years old, had the courage to go to Gestapo headquarters and obtain the release of my father. She explained to me that it was the most fearful moment of her life, as every set of doors started to close behind her, not knowing whether she would end up in a cell as well. And, you know, for a 19-year-old girl of no real worldly experience, this was a terrifying but courageous act. Anyway, they managed to get out in 1938 and arrived in Australia. And the problem, of course, was they had no language skills. They had no education, because the Nazis, of course, wouldn't allow the Jews to be educated. And as the war broke out, the Australian government treated all the Germans as enemy aliens, whether they were Jews or not. So going from the alienation of the Nazi era, they ended up with the alienation of their new host country, Australia, because the Australian government had no idea what to do. Subsequent years, my father joined the Australian Army, and that released him from the bonds of being an enemy alien. But the whole experience, which was alienation for more than 10 years, no doubt traumatised them in terms of what they could and couldn't do. My mother, in her determination to make good our lives, determined that she should bring us up, my brother and I, as Australians. And that's the source of the name of the book. Because
my mother took me to the cricket.
My mother took me to the cricket, which is
very Australian.
Very Australian. She learned by working in a factory during the war that there were two major elements to Australian culture. One was football, the other was cricket. And so she used to take us to the cricket. She said she loved the game, but I think more importantly, she wanted us to love the game and wanted us to be seen as part of society and know how to act in society. So the title is not about cricket. It's about the process of Australianisation, the process of becoming a normal part of society compared to what they had experienced, which was alienation and being outside society.
Robin, I mean, there is a lot about your parents and your years of, growing up and how they cope in the new country. But I don't want to run out of time without mentioning the most fascinating, also another fascinating part of your book is going, you managed to trace your family in Germany to the beginning of the 16th century. We're going 400 years back. And this is amazing, but in details, names, profession, where they did. What, I mean, your great-great-great-grandfather was the court Jew. They were the financiers, they were the bankers, and they were relations of the Rothschild and Moshe Montefiore. I mean, it's all in the book. This is amazing. I mean, not everybody can go back and trace his family history 400 years from father to son and describe a wedding that happened in the family in the 17th century. This is amazing. Tell us about it.
I stand on the shoulders of those that came before me. The family in 1899 commissioned a history to be written, and the history was written by an in-law or a person married to one of the family members, and he wrote and carefully researched the family history going back to the days of the court Jews, and it was published in 1903 after his death, and I got a copy of this book. My father got a copy of this book written in German, and I remember one day sitting at my desk looking at it saying, what am I going to do with this? I don't speak German. I can't translate this. So I went on the web and I actually found a Gompertz family historian living in Brisbane. And I sent him an email and he said, I know who you are. I've got you on the list and sent me my whole line of descent. And I explained to him that I wanted to read the book, but I had no way of doing it. And he said, well, you're lucky because in 2003, the English branch of the family commissioned a translation and it's been published. So I got onto Amazon UK and got their last copy. So I now have an English translation of the family history. And the family history goes, it's 300 or 400 pages of details of people, what they did, when they were born, and so on. So the history is documented clearly to about 1900. Following that, there was further work done by a group of people, including my father, in researching the family history from the family Gompertz book until the present day.
So it's the De Vries Gompertz. So there was one branch in, because I have to shorten it, there was one branch in Germany, another one in Amsterdam, another one in London, and another one in Suriname.
Yeah, well, the family is huge. My family tree that I've got on my computer's got over 6,000 names on it. But the English branch of the family is fascinating because it had mathematicians, the founder of the RSPCA, many military members. The branch of the family went to Suriname were sugar plantation owners, slave traders, and lasted in the Suriname for as long as the sugar price held up. There's branches in Austria. There are branches in the United States, branches in South America. This family is huge and it's all over the world and it's full of prominent people.
And Robin, how many people perished in the Holocaust from your family, do you know?
Well, I don't know the exact number, but I know there's at least 40 direct family members, mainly my grandparents perished, their brothers and sisters perished, cousins perished. I don't have the exact number.
But you think that's about 40?
Well, 40 that my father directly identified. But if you take the greater family, it must be in the thousands.
Yeah. That's right. And if people, I'm sure, I highly recommend to read the book. I mean, I really enjoyed every minute of this book. I mean, the fact that you became a treasurer and you didn't even know the history of your forefathers, that they were all treasurers, the court treasurers in 1600s, in the 1700s, I think this is quite fascinating, and you related to even to distant relation to the Rothschild, the bankers and finances is amazing.
Well, the reason why the family history was available is because they were prominent Jews of the time, and they were court Jews to the great courts of Germany, of Brandenburg and Berlin and Clever, and because the Jews at the time had to have permission to live outside the ghetto, there's records of these permissions, so that the family can be traced because they were prominent. The role of the court Jew, as Nitzer quite rightly said, is very analogous to that of the treasurer. The court Jew had to provide the jewels and the finance and finance the armies and so on. And the modern day equivalent is the treasurer. But I had, as you said, I had this idea that there was some connection, but I couldn't actually make a connection.
I think it's quite spooky that you became a treasurer and without even knowing that all of them were treasures. Robin, we have to go now to the next item. Can you please tell us quickly how to get the book, where to get the book?
Yeah, the book is published by the Sydney Jewish Museum, and you can get it by accessing their website. So
it's called My Mother Took Me to the Cricket. As I said, it's nothing about cricket. It's becoming Australian after the Holocaust and the family history going back to the 16th century by Robin DeVries. And Robin DeVries, thank you very much